Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind podcast. I am your co-host, Tim, and joining me, as always, is Jennifer.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Jennifer, what's up?
Reading these thrilling chapters.
Thrilling chapters.
These were, like, pretty exciting chapters, actually. Which actually made them weirdly hard to recap.
Because yeah.
It's like, listen, you just gotta be there.
You just gotta read it. I don't know why
I don't want you to, but also, these were pretty decent chapters.
Why are you listening to this podcast? Get out there. Read it. What are you doing? Freaking Nikolai, a.k.a. Book 3, chapters 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Thrilling, picking us right back up from Buck and Zion's escape from Israel.
Yeah, a thrilling bus chase.
Bus chase.
Across Israel and Egypt.
Did not remember it happening like this, but I kind of remembered parts of it happening like this.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. Like, I'm almost wondering, like, are there things that happened later that I'm remembering? Or did I just, like, conflate several?
Yes. Yes.
Because I definitely remembered like a search on the bus,
I remember a plane getting shot.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
Yeah,
I thought a guy is on a bus and it's getting searched, and the people searching it just like don't see him.
Yeah,
and that's like not what happens here.
No,
but it's effectively like the end result of it is the same. So I don't know if this happened somewhere else or if I just like. Because, you know, I was thinking about this last night, actually. I think that I was pretty fucking young when I read these books. Now that I'm thinking about
like,
it again.
What age would you
like,
say?
Like, I think I was like fifth or sixth grade.
What age is that? No one knows what that means.
I don't remember. Fuck.
So you don't know what it means?
I think fifth and sixth grade is like 12, like 11, 12.
Yeah, I was about 12. Like, 12, 13, give or take.
Because, and the reason why
I got older. Yeah.
I was realizing this is because I, like, made up this, and I may have talked about this before. Guys, take a shot every time I say it. Talked about this before. But, no, I definitely like started writing like a book / story where Christians were persecuted. But I was like, it must have been like fifth grade. Cause that's when I like fifth and sixth grade, like that's when I became obsessed with Star Wars. Uh-huh. So in my mind, I was like merging some aspect of Left Behind with some Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
And I made up a whole story of like having to like the bad guys coming into the house to like search for a Bible.
Oh gosh.
And like in the book, my story, the mom hid the Bible by wrapping it around her belly and she looked pregnant.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So I must have read Left Behind when I wrote
that. Did she say she was pregnant? Cause that's a lie. Our good boy Buck here doesn't lie.
He does not lie. I did notice that. No, I actually, and I'm pretty sure I actually have this story. So maybe that can be a fun little side thing I do. Maybe you can read it. Like now listen, everyone, you have to be like nice to me. Cause it's like, listen, this is obviously deeply embarrassing that I wrote this.
This is
but
a
I was also
person.
Like 11 years old. So.
Right. Anytime a person who was a child is now an adult, like that's obviously a different person. But come on, when you're like deeply religious and now you're not, that's a completely, completely
like,
different
like,
person.
Like truly, like who was I?
Right.
Okay, I'm also remembering an even more embarrassing like aspect that I was obviously bringing into this, which is that I read The Diary of Anne Frank during this time too. So that's also like a little bit of flavor into whatever was going on in my mind. I was also writing like, I was also very deeply obsessed with Redwall in this period. So
one of them's a mouse.
I mean, fuck, I probably was thinking that shit because I definitely used to like when I would go to bed at night, like I would like make up little stories in my mind where like the mice would like kiss each other and stuff.
Okay, that's good.
So that's just like what was going on in my brain at the time. So who fucking knows? Like my memories, like maybe I did remember. I haven't remembered that much.
Nightmare blunt rotation, am I right?
Like, seriously so bad.
Chapter 12.
Oh, man. So, yeah, as we mentioned, Buck and Zion Benjuda are on their way to Egypt in their getaway bus.
Right, their shitty, shitty bus.
This is a fucking jalopy-ass bus, man. It is rattling. It is overheating.
They don't make them like this anymore.
No, they surely do not, and for the best.
Agree to disagree.
I do think there should be more shitty buses out there. There was a little part in this that I pinged my, like, current news brain, which is, actually, Tim, can you read this little chunk right here?
There are four different places where you can cross over into, cross over from Israel into Egypt by auto. The two most direct were at Rafah and the Gaza Strip. But these have always been heavily patrolled.
So this is even in, like, 1997, like, just,
it's always been that way.
Just maybe. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Just saying with the current, it's like, oh, wait, it's heavily patrolled back then.
I mean, people nowadays have a brain of a goldfish.
Yeah. So. It's just like, just a reminder, this shit has been going on there for quite a while. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So
this is a fantasy book.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, yeah. And that actually, like, we were, sorry, just to step back for a moment. I know we were talking about these chapters being good, but. Not enough Antichrist in them. I do miss Nikolai.
Well, we get this global community, right?
We get that. Yeah, but that's not my dude, though. I want to see the Antichrist, not his minions.
I didn't need him in these.
You were so enthralled by the bus adventures that you didn't need. Yeah, there was definitely some good shit in these chapters. Yeah. So, but it was
lean enough, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Chloe shows up, I'm like, ugh, get out of here.
Then what? Yeah, there are two like very brief like Rayford etc. like things that are just like okay, don't care.
I mean, Rayford's funny in him, so
yeah, he is pretty funny in him. So yeah, Benjuda and Buck are driving across like the desert in their jalopy. At one point, I mean, they start off and Benjuda's like hiding the whole time, and then it's like
I'm bored.
There's like nobody out here. Yeah, and Benjuda offers to help Buck drive, and Buck is like, no, that is not a good idea.
Are you fucking crazy?
And he does say a thing here that made me laugh. He's like, I appreciate it, but it's out of the question. I'm fine, well rested. Anyway, I'm scared to death. That will keep me alert.
Yeah.
I do like when they admit, like, I'm about to piss myself.
Yeah, they do a decent job every now and again, quote unquote, humanizing their characters. And
Buck is okay in these chapters. Well, he does one thing that did make me want to kill him in these chapters, which we'll get to. But mostly, because he's trying, you know, it's tough. Benjuda, his family has been killed. He is on the run. He's he is a fugitive in his own land.
Yeah.
So he's having a tough time. I mean, like, as we've, like, seen in the previous chapter, he's mostly just like crying and praying all the time.
Yeah. Buck is like, pardon me. And Zion's like, I was just praying. Brother.
I was just praying. Yeah. Cause he just hears him like murmuring in the back. And it's like, oh, he's praying again. That's all he's doing. Yeah. And so once Buck is like, nah, man, I'm good. I'll stay driving. That's when Benjamin is like, okay, well, I'll just be crying, praying back here by myself.
He's then.
as they're, I mean, again, this is like a I don't know exactly. This is like mini hours drive.
Right. So, and the bus is slow.
The bus is, yeah, because I actually, like, they said specifically, I think it was going like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, about 40 miles an hour.
So, like, not fast.
Yeah.
And as they're driving, Benjuda is like, oh, hey, like, I actually really want to check in on my driver and see how he's doing. And Buck is like, oh.
Let me hold your phone. Let me get that phone. Let me call my boy.
He's like, don't you think it's pretty late to try to reach out to him?
The number of time Buck is like, I don't want to do this thing.
Like, man, why have I got to be the one to tell him that this guy's dead? It happens multiple times.
Yeah.
Just in these chapters. It's pretty funny.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to lie. So I'll just be like, come on, it's laid out. He probably feels.
Right. He totally, like, beefed that, too.
And then, like, three times it's like, Buck knew that Zion knew. And Zion's like, just tell me, man.
Just tell me, bro.
And then Buck's like, look at all these street signs, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's so weird. I mean, I don't blame him. Don't want to be the one to break the news like, yeah, your loyal car driver has been exploded by a car bomb. Car bomb.
For which we have, like, he was always with me. I love Jamie. He's there all the time.
Yeah.
I miss him so. Hopefully he's doing well. Like, well, he did.
Well, yeah, and they have this, like, kind of awkward back and forth of, like, well, tell me how it happened. Car bomb. Instantaneous, then. Perhaps he never knew what hit him. Perhaps he did not suffer. Okay, but you already talked about how he's not a Christian, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, he did say maybe at the end.
Okay, what's the point of him not suffering at the end if he's going to be suffering forever?
That's a good point.
Like, yeah. Like, hey. I just thought it was a really weird thing to, like, bring up at all in that context.
But the Christians don't think that way.
Yeah, they fucking should. It's stupid.
Like, I'm glad those babies were murdered quickly or something so they can be in hell forever. Like, come on, man.
Well, not the babies, though.
Oh, that's true.
You're fine until you reach some age of accountability that is uncertain.
True.
I believe in, like, Catholicism, there's, like, a solid, like, it's seven. Like, when you're seven is when that is. But evangelicals, they are just like, well, just whenever they can understand it.
It's different for everybody.
Which, again, led to me being terrified and getting saved at five years old because I was like, I don't want to go to hell. That sounds bad.
I'm accountable in age.
I just, like, again, like, I do not feel like evangelical Christians, like, really, like, contend with the weight of hell for eternity. Like, they just, like, gloss over it and don't want to talk about it. Like, they do want to talk about it, but they don't want to, like, be like, so wait a second. Like, why are you carrying, like, it's already done. Like, you should just write this guy off in your mind.
Right.
Because he's lost now. Like, so who fucking cares if he got blew up in a car bomb or like how if he suffered, like his suffer's going to be.
Yeah, if you're going to be freaking out about it, just go to be Catholic so you can like pray hard and give.
And be like, yeah, get him out of. Get him from purgatory up to the pearly gates, baby.
Can they leave hell? If
I don't think so. I actually don't know enough about how this works in Catholicism. Like, I don't know if it's like everyone, like if it's like only like really bad people go to hell. Because my impression is like, most people got to go to purgatory for a while.
Right.
Like, maybe, like, your saints and stuff go straight to heaven.
As a joke, we should just, like, pay a fuck ton of money to get Genghis Khan out of hell.
Like, come on, man. Let him out. It's been long enough.
Well, like, it's all the joke of, like, when you get to heaven, who do you see? And it's like, if we spend, as a joke, spend a fuck ton of money to get the worst people out of hell.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
And they're like, wait, you guys are here? They're like, waka waka.
Does that work? Sorry. After he finds out that in addition to his wife and stepchildren, his driver is also dead, and you're just like, damn, everybody even kind of close to me is in danger. In fact, I'm kind of worried about Chaim Rosenzweig. And Buck's like, well, don't worry about him because he still like loves the Antichrist for some reason. So he's probably safe for now.
Yeah.
So Buck sees that the little meter is getting his jalopy bus is getting overheated.
It's thirsty.
Because when they talked about that actually, like in the previous chapters, like, okay, here's a bunch of gasoline and here's a bunch of water because you're gonna have to pour water in this fucking bus to cool it down. So Buck is like, uh oh, I gotta pull over. And
I think there's also oil.
Yeah, well, I don't fucking know about how cars work. I don't know how my car works. I get in it and I turn it on and I drive places. That's it.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
I barely know what the buttons do in my car.
That's fair. Yeah.
To be clear.
I don't know either.
So yeah, he's got to get out and pour water in it to cool it down. And, while that's happening, it's like, there's a global community peacekeeping force squad approaching.
Well, hopefully they're just here. See if he's doing okay.
Yeah, right? I'm sure that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's pulled over, the local community people also pull over and start to kind of grill him on who he is, what he's doing here. And he does his, like, I'm Herb Katz, I'm a businessman identity thing. And they're like, it happens that the owner of this vehicle was detained just over an hour ago in connection with aiding and abetting a murder suspect. Well, shit.
We had to know Michael.
Michael, the boatman, we knew you weren't long for this world.
Yeah, it sucks for you, brother, but you are in this book and you got got.
Yeah, you got got. The thing that I am really curious how they're going to deal with is they mention here that they found papers for Cameron Williams on that guy. Now, that I don't know how they're going to, like, fix.
Yeah.
Because it's going to connect him to this guy.
I was thinking, like, what is
Because they haven't addressed it. And I'll just say that right now. In these chapters, they have not really addressed how Buck's going to get out of that one.
Right. They have extremely confirmed that the guy had him.
Yes.
But we're trying to figure out what he's going to do with, like, how Buck is going to react. And, you know, later in the next chapter, there's, like, a news story about it. And it's like, well, he also had Cameron Williams' ID on him. And it's like, please don't show it. Please don't show it. Please don't show it. And I'm like, what are you going to do when you get back? And it's like, oh, I was covering it for a story. I got mugged. I think he said I got mugged.
Yeah, I think he has to say that it got stolen or something. I don't know.
My back got stolen. It sucked. I'm mad. Good thing they got him. Sounds like they killed him.
broccoli. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Because, like, do we not think that Carpathia is going to be like, But maybe not.
What happened to your foot?
Well, he can probably keep that on the DL. We'll get to that. Buck tries to play it off and is, like, trying to be chill and stuff, but he's still getting grilled by these guys about his connection.
Right.
To both the, I mean, which, fair enough, like, you were in possession of a bus that belonged to a man that was just arrested an hour ago.
Right, and the man that had your ID.
You're driving a bus, like, presumably by yourself
in the middle, of the night
towards Egypt.
Right, like, exactly.
It looks shady as fuck.
It was interesting, like, the back and forth, right, of, like, the peacekeeper being like, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And Buck's like, yeah, well, you know, it was cheaper. There wasn't any flights that I could take in Tel Aviv.
Like, just acting like a business guy. Like, that was definitely, like, the right.
He definitely leaned into, like, I'm a silly American rich businessman who does stupid
shit. Like, oh, I don't know what the guy's name. Right. I can't pronounce it. I'm just trying to get home.
Yeah. Like, I would be able to pronounce if I could. And, like, how many times they're just like, is there anything in your car? Anything else in your car? Nope. Yeah, some gas, food, you know, things like that. It's like
rags.
So we're going to go check the car. Is there anything else? Well, I guess the only other thing I'm carrying is, you know, some clothes.
And
you know, stuff.
Fig bars.
They're like, okay.
Yeah, no, and that does go around to a thing that is 100% true, which is if you just, like, act normal and, like, act like you're supposed to be somewhere.
Right.
People will generally just be like, okay. Right. Like, you can just kind of, like, bully people by acting aggressively normal. And it works. We've done it before to get into conventions. The back way.
Absolutely.
It totally works. Not, your mileage may vary depending on, you know, what you look like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it's like, yep, this looks like a guy who could be an American businessman. Like,
right.
And of course he made some weird choices that he just wants. And then also it is like a weird time. Like, places have been blown up.
Right,
like, shit is weird.
True.
So I think there must be, like, a little extra.
It's a little weirder driving to Egypt, though.
It is, like, why did you not just, I mean, they end up asking him, like, at some other point, like, why didn't you just leave where you came out?
Yeah, but I guess,
like,
I think it's, even to your point, right, is, like, it feels a little more, things are so weird that for whatever, maybe, like, oh, my personal airplane driver couldn't leave Egypt.
Right, you know? Right, exactly. Yeah, just play the, like,
and then, yeah, like, a lot American of it is, like, thing. I don't understand it. This is why I'm doing it. I want to save some money, and, like, he can't fly out of Tel Aviv, so here we are.
Yep.
And it works for the most part.
But it's also in this part where, like, as his, like, grilling is going down, Buck thinks, for the first time in his life, Buck was tempted to kill a man.
Yeah. And he kind of had the vibe of, like, am I cool like Michael? Could I kill a guy?
Could I kill three guys like Michael did? I don't think so. Not yet, buddy. I don't think you got it in you just yet.
Yeah,
you
need to start working out and getting better guns.
Yeah, you need to get some, like, cool knives and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Learn how to use a garrote.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, things of that nature.
A big old tower shield.
Yes, huge one. So the global community guys then go to search the bus, and it's like, oh, shit, how's this gonna go? And Buck's just, like, kind of just waiting there, like, well, I mean, I might have to kill a guy here in a second. We'll see what happens.
Because they're, like, walking this line of, we want to be smart, but also we have magic and God's on our side. But again, you know, if God doesn't will it, you're fucked regardless. But they're like, but we can't just be naive about this.
And you can't
shit.
Just, like, not prepare at all.
Right, exactly.
So you gotta, and I do feel like that's kind of a thing that was pretty common in, like, church. It's like, well, yes, of course God can do things, but you need to do your part as well.
Right. He works through you. And
yeah.
Yada, yada.
God helps those who help themselves.
So true.
So, but Buck is, like, trying, you know, he's playing that line of, like, I'm going to try to play it cool, God, but also I'm going to do what I can to, like, make things happen.
Right.
Then in the end, the guys come out and they just kind of, like, bitch at Buck, like, what are we planning to fucking do with this bus? When you got to eat it, you're just going to leave it there? And he's just like, I was just a zealot to someone.
Like, okay, I guess. I do like the idea of, like, I bought a shit-ass bus, I'm just going to leave it in the airport.
I mean, a rich business, that does sound like something
absolutely.
A rich guy would do. It's
absolutely.
Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, because I remember planning to get, like, some of my stuff sometimes from back when I was in my early 20s from North Carolina. And it was, like, I didn't have credit, so I couldn't rent a car. And it was, like, what if I buy a shitty car?
Buy a jalopy.
Yeah, and just drive it down and let it die, you know, and see what happens.
People definitely – I mean, that's a thing that happens. So, yeah. Like, fair enough. Buck is back on the bus, though, and he does not see Benjamin. And he's like, what the hell is going on right now? But
he got raptured.
Yeah. So this one, he kind of drives and U-turns a bit, like, back and forth. Now that the global community, like, car
they
is
leave
gone.
Because he, you know, can slam the hood down, shit like that.
Yeah, and, he's play up,
kick
you know,
the tires.
Doing all his, like, you know, jalopy maintenance right. and such. And he finally, he sees Benjuna in a little grove of trees to the side.
Just waving like, hello.
Hello, I'm here. This part made me so happy because, guys, do you know what saved Benjuna?
What?
He had to go pee-pee.
Yep. Zion's like, you know, Lord works in mysterious ways. And I'll say that again. And Buck's like, what the fuck happened?
What did you do?
And he's like, I had to piss, man. I had to go take a piss.
Yeah, when Buck pulled over and started fucking with, you know, pouring the water inside of the bus, which again, I don't understand where that water is going.
Well, that's going on the radiator. I get that part.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I don't. What's
the radiator? That's what radiates. Benjuda's like, are we there? No, okay. Well, I gotta go take a huge piss.
I gotta go pop one off and there's a grove of trees over here.
but then he saw the GC coming. You're like,
almost stay in the trees.
Time to hunker down near my piss.
Yeah, the global community guys were like, someone frying chicken out there.
Damn. Daddy like.
Yeah, so number one save of the night.
Let's go.
Saved by pee-pee. We love
it. Let's go. I mean, that's funny, right?
I like it. Like, yeah, like, okay, like, the Lord pressed upon his bladder and made him get up.
There is this weird thing that would happen a lot in churches where it'd be like, I'll tell you what, the Lord... He has a sense of humor. And
yes,
then they say, like, some really weird things. I'm like, I don't know if any of that made sense. But I do love the consistency at which, like, that's a Christian refrain of, like, I prayed for it. And then God decided to do it weirdly. And the takeaway is God's just a silly little guy.
He loves making little jokes up there. He's bored.
Yeah. He does little japes. The little ribs.
Yeah. And he, you know, helps you find your lost pin. He helps you find your parking spot. Important stuff.
Exactly.
So they finally are like, all right, save number one of the night. Let's keep driving.
Hell yeah.
while they're driving, Benjuda gets sad again. He's worried now about what's going to happen to his family's bodies, which again, I don't get that.
Oh my God.
It doesn't matter. They're in heaven. Who cares?
I mean, Buck agrees with
you. He's not going to be able to, like, do anything with the body. You're never going to see their bodies again, bud. Like, it doesn't matter. They're going to have new, cooler bodies. We've moved beyond the need for these earthly bodies. Like,
well, I mean, it makes, like, in this context, there's no telling that, like, they didn't just leave them in the fucking street for dogs.
That would be sad if that happened. But I guess it means.
Also, you think that's bad?
Well, because you're talking about burn, I'm like, yeah, but, like, people, like, burn bodies intentionally. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's just called cremation.
I mean, do you not get, do you not get the concept of, like, I don't know what happened to my loved ones' bodies as weighing down on you?
Not really. They're not in there anymore.
That's wild, gang.
Well, this is also, but this is, it's consistent for me because I, like, truly do not care what happens to me after I die. Like, throw me in the dirt. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking care. Put me on a body farm. Mm-hmm. Like, take all my corneas out and use them for whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not there anymore. I don't care.
I'll be dead. Sure, but your loved ones don't want to see you all hacked up and raw pieces of meat.
I think it'd be funny if they did something really funny to my body when I died. They should, like, use me like a scarecrow or something. That'd be pretty cool, I think.
Okay.
No, it just bothers me because it's like, if you truly believe that you're going to be reunited with your family in a few years, then you should not be as upset.
Okay.
I'm right. I just think it's a kind of specific thing to be upset about.
I also just think that, like, it's practically evolutionarily coded into us due to the fact that
I guess not everybody
dead body. Well, I mean, I'm not saying
be logical.
It's evolutionarily coded into us, like, practically at this point, because dead bodies create disease,
right?
And not bad stuff. Ergo, we should want the reason. Like, when we look at the sky and see stars, and instead of our little brains exploding, we're like, oh, there's a guy up there. Like the same way that, like, we don't want there to be vermin and pestilence from dead bodies. We're like, it's important to freaking get, like, get rid of these guys, like, bury them, treat them with respect. But really, it's just like, yeah, you're right. If we just threw all the bodies in a trash compactor and, like, sealed it, right?
Same
so,
difference.
Like, really squash them together. And then shit like that, that's not a big deal.
I'm just more concerned about what happens to the bodies when they're alive. I just feel like once they're dead, it's like, well.
I mean, hey.
No one's physically being hurt anymore. Hey, Jennifer. Anymore.
To quote John Oliver, you got him. Wow, you got him in a damn
I'm just saying,
logical fallacy. A hypocrisy. Wow, that's weird.
I just feel like if you really believed in heaven, you wouldn't be that sad.
All right.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. I mean, you know. You're saying your opinion.
Be logical.
Oh,
no,
boy.
No, it's just – it's less like – no, I'm obviously not talking about any real humans. You're allowed to be sad about, like, what might happen to your family's body or whatever. But I'm just saying specifically in the case of Ben Judah, like, that's the thing that's going to push you over the edge. Like, not the actually them getting, like, beheaded in the street.
Well, he was saying that, like, it was something that kept bouncing around in his head.
Fair enough.
And there's such
all
a
right.
thing with, like – you know, grief and processing difficult times where, you know, it's a pretty common refrain that is like, I just keep thinking about strange X, Y, and Z thing, right? Like, I don't think about my friggin' wife dying in a big explosion airplane. I'm like, she get her damn peanuts at least? Or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. it's the quirk of the mind that goes to strange places.
No, that's fair. That's fair. My brain doesn't work that way, but I recognize that other people do see things that way, and it's valid.
I mean, I guess there's like a small part of it is like, hey man, we're literally in the rapture, but still, they're still human fucking beings, and even though it's only been 2 years or so,
not anymore. They're dead. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm gonna stop. I couldn't stop myself. But, like, also, like, I don't know. This is just, like, my brain. Like, people who get stressed with, like, flying on planes, it's like, you worrying about it, it's not going to do anything.
Sure.
So, like, I know that's not how other people's brains work, but I'm just, like, simply just don't think about it.
I agree with you there, which is, like, when my friend's like, I'm too socially anxious to do X, Y, Z. I'm like, well, just stop being socially anxious.
Just do it.
Just do it.
And I know, like, and obviously, like, I have a million things that, like, you could turn around and say that
bro,
to me.
You don't do shit. Yeah.
No, man. I know. Like, yeah. I'm being totally unfair. It's just, like, specific things.
But,
like,
yeah, like, certain things that get so big, it's like,
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Unlike me, who's sometimes like, man, that ocean, it's out to get you.
I'm just, like, thinking he's scared of it.
I'm scared. I respect it.
I know. The ocean is, listen. The ocean is very scary.
It's
I'm fully with you. The ocean is too big. We don't know what's going
there
on down there.
There could be a damn Meg down there.
That is what – that kind of thing does get me, like, in the, like, I'm – oh, my God, I'm a little worm,
yeah.
like, as part of this universe.
Yeah.
Like, when I think too hard about, like, how big, like, the universe is or,
yeah,
like,
what if I'm, like, just
space?
Walking around and I find myself in an underwater cave? I'm fucked. I don't know how I got there.
Yeah, don't go in caves. Number one, just don't fucking do that.
What
They're dangerous.
Yeah, that's true. Caves are bad.
Anyway, back to, yeah, Ben Judah's still sad.
Anyways, their fucking meat bodies are rotten and dogs are eating them. It's not that big a deal.
And it is like, this like did just happen. Like, it has not been very long since his family got killed. So, like, absolutely him being sad about them, like, very fair.
Right.
And I thought it was interesting that he says that he comes from a heritage of tears, centuries of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming he's talking about, like, just, like, you know, the Jewish people,
right.
like, and how difficult
Generally.
Things have been for
yeah,
them.
Absolutely.
I thought that was a interesting thing to, and worthwhile bringing up. Just like, yeah, man, shit's been tough for us all
right.
around.
Right. Almost like a point of strength of, like, we've been through a lot and
mm-hmm.
we've
and we
maintained
keep
and
yep.
keep moving. And here I am going through a lot and it sure does suck. But hey, my people have been through worse before.
Right. Right. Exactly. So Zion is like, hey, Buck, why don't you like tell me some stories
right.
to like help me fall
I like
asleep
this part
and chill out?
Because it was like so clearly, you know, we all agree Zion was being irrational.
No,
about-
I'm not. Listen,
and so he needed, let me finish. He was being irrational about the meat bodies of his child and was wondering if dogs were eating his young children. So he wants to be
they're not young. They were teens.
okay. He wanted to be distracted, and I yeah. like that Buck was even like, the more I went on, the more animated he would get, and it would interrupt me, and yada, yada. I'm like, that's fun. He just yeah. needs something just to distract him.
He does, which is understandable.
I respect it. That's why if you would have had a podcast, if podcasts existed back then. Oh, yeah,
perfect time for a podcast. Yeah. It's like, we got to put a Comedy Bang Bang on right now.
That's funny.
I can't always listen to Paul F. Tompkins being a silly guy.
Like, see, this is good. Oh, man, Paul F. Tompkins roasting Nikolai Carpathia.
Oh, you get him so bad, but then Nikolai Carpathia would kill him. He'd kill him. He would execute him live on TV. Yeah. It would be really sad.
In his little suits.
I don't want that to happen. I would be really sad about that.
I'm crying.
yeah. So the problem, though, with Buck telling Zion about the Tribulation Force is that he's like, wow, I can't wait to meet this Bruce Barnes. And then he's like,
oh, fuck.
Well, the thing is, he's fucking dead also.
Bruce is too busy being dead.
Yeah, and he brings up here that that's only been like a few days. Yeah. That I think we kind of knew that, but yeah.
It's good to get like confirmation because it's definitely felt like this entire book has been less than 3 days.
Yeah, it's definitely a short period of time. Oh, this was the part that I was like, Buck, I'm gonna fucking kill you. He thinks to himself, so he's telling Zion, like, you know, talking about the Tribulation Force.
Basically, the entire story of Buck on the airplane to the rapture, yada, yada, yada.
Right. And in the middle of this, Buck thinks to himself, Buck had always been amazed that his own mind could be on two tracks at once. He could be telling a story and thinking of another at the same time. Bitch, shut up. Most people can do that.
I used to be able to do it.
I can do that. Like, that's like, yeah, maybe not everyone.
I can't do it anymore.
Time.
After I got COVID or pandemic broke my brain or who the fuck knows. I've talked about it before, but my ability to multitask is like destroyed now.
But it's not
insane.
Like, super unusual.
No.
Like, that's kind of like how your brain's supposed to
work. I mean,
work.
That's like what podcasting is a lot of the time.
Yeah, like, thinking about like multiple things at one time.
Yeah, you're in like streaming and things like that. You're like, you're letting your body take over talking while the back of your brain is like figuring out what's next and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, that's just the fucking authors being dorks, right?
Yeah, they're just, again, like, trying to be like, Buck is so cool and smart.
But it is lame.
Shut up, bitch!
That Buck is like, man, I'm so cool.
I'm so fucking smart.
I'm just like, I'm so cool. I'm like an average, like, indie improv team in a small town that is, like, pretty good.
I wish that Buck had this thought and then a bullet went straight through his head. And the bus crashed.
And book.
Yep, that's it.
Do you want to learn more about the Lord?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I did like throughout a lot of this stuff of like, Buck kind of was getting frustrated that he's like, why the fuck am I out here? This sucks. I want to be home with my damn notebook, my pen, and just coming up with ideas.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah, he does get pissed about that. And it's like, well, Buck, take it up with the Lord, because he's got you out here on this mission.
Sorry, Buck, you're too good at, like, everything. Like,
yeah.
Not having an alarm and thinking about two things at once.
This is what you get for being God's special boy.
Right.
You have to go out on missions in a jalopy in the desert.
Yeah. God's strongest special boys get the biggest tasks.
Get the biggest buses. Yeah. The biggest, rattlingest buses of all time. So as Buck is talking, you know, telling Benjina about the whole Tribulation Force, she's like, I wonder if God's maybe bringing him to be our new spiritual advisor to, you know, take the place. Because Bruce has been their pastor for several years.
Yeah.
Like, this thing I have to keep remembering is like, yes, this book has only taken place over a few days, but it's been several years since the start of the process.
Right. And it is kind of funny if like, well, Zion can't be like the head pastor. That's true. But we could throw him that damn bunker.
I was like, I know what we got to do with that bunker. We got to set Zion up there with the fancy computer, and he can look at all the translations of the Bible.
You know, I said hell yeah when the bunker came back.
Of course, they got to use the bunker for something.
The Lord made Zion go pee pee, and the Lord made them big hole for fucking bunker.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I think they should set that bunker up with like 50 monitors, so Zion can just like. Be like you know, like anime style, like the character is just like a million screens.
I thought you were going to set up like a Bible goon cave.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, actually, I like that description even more. Like Bible Goon Cave. That might have to be the episode title. Write that down. Zion's Bible Goon Cave.
I don't know if I should have put it in there, but.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, as has come up before, Donnie, their friend from the church, is a computer whiz, and he's setting up these fancy-ass laptops so they can connect to the net.
Right, and it's kind of funny, like, before, Buck was like, I need 5. Not for fucking Loretta, but for who knows what. And then, like, 2 hours later, Buck, we need you to go to Israel and get a guy that needs things. Like, hell yeah.
To me, read this little section here.
And what might Donnie come up with that would allow Zion to broadcast surreptitiously, tough word, on the internet? Could he do his teachings and preachings and Bible studies on the net to the millions of computers and televisions all over the world?
On the net. On feel like on the net is, like, funny every time someone says it.
And it kind of made my brain jump a little bit because, like, the idea of saying broadcast to the net to millions of computers and TVs. Like, that's true.
It is true.
But my brain is like, it's gotta be in the bees now, baby. But still, it's a different time.
Okay, this book came out in 1997.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Very early. Still so very early.
Because, yeah, in 97, we had a computer in our house, but I don't think we got on the internet.
Right. I forget when America Online hit it, quote unquote, big.
I think that would have been a few years later. I think a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Because 97, yeah, I think at that point I was like still playing like Ski Free and stuff on the computer. I'm pretty sure it was still the like paper with the holes in the side.
Right. I remember being quite young and my dad looking up Mech Warrior codes for Super Nintendo, codes. So maybe it was around then. Maybe I was 12.
I just think we didn't have the internet.
Like, well, you lived on the probably the woods. And
I mean, kind of, yes. I had educational games on there to play to help me with math and reading and such.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. I mean, maybe my parents got on there. I don't know. I didn't. I didn't get internet, but I definitely had it in like by 7th, 8th grade. So
gotcha.
This was a time period like right before that was going to happen. So yeah, Buck is, like Tim, like you were saying, Buck is starting to get pissed when he's thinking about all these opportunities. He's like, man, I just want to do my journalism stuff. And I hate that I have to do propaganda for the Antichrist now.
Right.
It sucks. And he actually specifically thinks to himself, his journalism was no longer objective. It was propaganda. It was what George Orwell would have called newspeak in his famous novel, 1984.
Hell yeah. I'm surprised it took so long to say 1984.
Sarah Jane is like, I know what 1984 is. I've read that book. Have you?
Have you?
Have you, though?
Did you understand it?
Did you understand it, bitch? Did you read Animal Farm and understand that?
Idiot. Pigs are good. I agree.
I remember reading Animal Farm also around this period, actually. And
I didn't read it. I think I started. I was like, what the fuck?
This is fuck.
Animals don't fucking
These
talk.
These pigs are mean. They're trying to kill this horse and turn it into glue.
Damn.
So they've been driving quite a while, and finally, Buck, Ben, Judah, and the bus arrive at the first border crossing. Because that is one thing I like kind of forgot. It's like, oh yeah, the border. There's two parts.
Right.
There's the country that you're currently in, and then the country you're going into.
Right.
So this is the Israeli border patrol like checkpoint. And they explain, like, all right, like, we're going to interrogate you and search the vehicle. And Bajuna is, like, hitting down and, like, grabs Buck's, like, ankle to, like, squeeze. I thought that was cute, too. I liked it. Like, and he says, Cameron, my friend, I will see you soon. If not in this life, then in the everlasting kingdom.
Right. Because this is the big one.
It's scary. Like, it is. Like, okay, how are you going to get out of this one? Like, there's nowhere to go. There's no little grove of trees to go pee-pee in. Like, it's just, he's on that bus.
Yeah.
Buck gets out, and he's being questioned, and this is where the news, like, he's being questioned, and they're like, oh, interesting. You might be interested in this. Look at the news right now. They're talking about the news story.
Oh, technology update. Mine said DVD. it was the news, and then it said he paused the DVD.
What?
Yeah, I was confused by it. I don't know. I
guess why would the news be on the DVD?
I guess the implication was, in case you get a Buck Williams-like in your... It didn't make any sense. I don't know why.
I guess I was using my face right now. I'm so baffled.
Yeah.
Because there was definitely no mention of a DVD.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
even the DVDs existed. So, like, what? Like, what are these?
Well, 97, not quite. I mean, they did.
Really?
Fuck, when did Matrix come out? Matrix came out in 1999. You know, I feel like that was, like, one of the big first ones. I mean, DVDs existed, of course.
Right, but it's like they weren't, like, common.
Right. So, basically, yeah, it started with, like, hey, you might be interested in this. Hit turns on TV, radio broadcast, or, like, TV broadcast with yada, yada, yada.
I think it makes, like, 1,000% more sense than it would just be on the news.
Exactly.
Like, why you gotta bring a DVD into
this? I'm also wondering if it was, like... Are you saying that the news was playing this right then? It's like, yeah, kind of. That's good. It happens in every single media
episode. Yeah, that's fine. That's like,
they never
like,
say, let me cop. I burnt this news broadcast to a DVD.
Yeah, that's like 1,000 times more insane to say that. That's really funny.
I couldn't really understand it, so I just like moved on. I was like, oh, wait.
I was like, my brain is bouncing off of this. Yeah. I like, can't. Like,
oh, wait, that yours probably didn't say
DVD. Because I forgot. Like, for some reason, I was thinking we had the same version this time.
No, because I'm buying the new versions with the dog shit covers.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's hilarious. Yeah. I love that. In my version, that makes more sense. The news is just on.
Hey, guys, the news was just on. Instead of where mine was, the news was just on, and then it became a DVD.
What the hell? Oh, man. So, yeah, on the news person is saying, global community spokesmen say that Ben Judah, formerly a respected scholar and clergyman, apparently became a radical fanatic fundamentalist, and point to this sermon he delivered just a week ago as evidence that he overreacted to a New Testament passage and was later seen by several neighbors slaughtering his own family. Yeah. I thought this was pretty funny because it was like, and obviously they were taking these Bible verses out of context here.
I think in a previous episode I was like, I don't know how they're going to swing Ben Judah killing his family. Don't make no goddamn sense. They did a good job. Well, I gotta say, good job.
Yeah, you just make up a story.
Yeah.
And also, yes, take the verses out of context.
Right.
But I do think that is such a funny thing that happens with evangelicals. Like, if you ever, like, bring a verse up that's, like, kind of a problem, they're like, it's out of context. It's out of context.
Right.
Like, well.
It's like, you need to hate your father. You need, if you
can't. I came not to bring peace, but a sword.
Exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, this doesn't sound great.
I mean, those messages, like, in context are kind of weird.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know that the context, like, helps that
right.
much.
Right.
Like,
but I get really. I do get what they're saying. It's like, if you want to be lordly, you need to not have as much connection to your family.
Like,
so he went wild and killed his family to show God.
Like, fuck these guys. I don't love like, God.
I was like, damn, you're really just like, you airing this shit.
No, they definitely did like a good job of like making it seem like it could be something that he would do.
Absolutely. I mean, well, not killing his family. Well, I guess what we're saying is the way that they cut up the sermon was – you could see how that just go on, and you'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense, and you move on.
I mean, this is like still how the news works.
Absolutely.
With various things.
Everything.
They can, you know, you can make things look a certain way.
Yeah.
With enough work.
Absolutely.
It's pretty easy.
Even with like no work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's even before this damn AI.
Just lie.
Just lie.
Just fucking lie.
Never tell the truth.
And get it out there in the news, and then that's like what people are going to believe.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really fucking true, though. Mm-hmm. Like, because I just think about how now, like, people, you know, stories will come out. They get like a debunked like immediately, but no one ever finds that part out. No one finds the debunking out. So it's just like
tweet
whatever gets
with
out first.
Lie, 500 retweets.
Yeah.
Tweet with correction, 2 retweets.
Yeah, exactly. So like this is unfortunately just how the human brain works. We see it here. It's the same shit now in slightly different methods. So Buck is still inside the like border, you know, patrol hut or whatever this is. And because earlier there were 2 guards, like, and there was this younger guard that was searching the bus, and he comes back in and Buck's like,
oh shit,
man.
He doesn't look am
I about to get shot in the head right now? And he's like, yeah, like, should I, like, does it look more like chill if I just like don't look at him, or if I like don't turn around and look at him? Like, what's more normal? And I thought it was interesting that they really were like both in this chapter and then the next one, they like, his name is like, is Anis, mm-hmm. like A-N-I-S. And I looked it up because I was like, why are they like giving this guy like a specific name? And it means like friend or comrade. That's in fun. Arabic. So I didn't know if they were just like, you know, like being symbolic or whatever, or they just wanted to give this guy a name. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting. I didn't know why they brought it up.
Part of me thinks that, well, let's just put it, you know, Ben Tudor doesn't die, hardly enough.
Yeah. Not here anyway. I don't remember. I don't know what happens to him later.
But. Yeah, me either. But basically, my assumption is that, like, Anis is like, hey, rock on.
Right.
Remember me, pray for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, spoiler alert, Anis lets Ben Tudor go.
Yeah, we'll get to that in detail. But yeah, at this point, basically, he comes in and is like, yep, everything looks good to go. And Buck's like, oh, fuck, I'm all right, I gotta gather in all this stuff, like, really fast.
He's like, hey, my name's Anis. He's like, cool.
Okay, bye.
He gets in, he's like, yeah. What the fuck?
And he basically gets in, and, like, once he gets a little bit far enough away, he's like, Ben Tudor, I fucking hope you're on board. I am hitting pedal to the metal.
Right.
Once we don't see lights from the Border Patrol, like, station, like, talk to me.
It was either this part or a previous part where he's like, I'm going to really slam on the car so that it sounds loud as fuck so that I can talk to you right now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Chapter 13.
Guys, aren't you so excited to be at a Rayford phone call section?
Yay!
Amanda is calling Rayford in the middle of the damn night because he's at Rayford's in New Babylon. Yeah. Right now. And Amanda's calling because Loretta got like this crazy strong urge to pray for Buck. Mm-hmm. And she just like, her and Chloe are like, oh, have you heard anything? Like, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
I
like that they repeated the Buck gets himself into trouble and gets himself out of trouble. I'm like, he loves to say that.
He does love saying that. No, I mean, Rayford obviously like loves Buck. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks Buck rocks, you know?
Yeah, and respects him and knows that he's going to get into zany. Like, because Buck's on a whole nother level. Sure, Rayford is spying on the goddamn Antichrist, but Buck is like getting into shit.
Buck is constantly like on the verge of being murdered.
Yeah.
Like, and this was true, I think, before even he, like, you know, the tribulation started, before he became a Christian. He's bucking all the damn time. But remember, like, Amanda and Chloe and Loretta are all living at Loretta's house right now. So Loretta gets on the phone with Rayford and she's basically like, do you think I'm crazy for having a premonition about Buck? And Rayford says, no, ma'am. God seems to be working in much more direct and dramatic ways all the time. If you were led to pray for Buck right then, you remember to ask him what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. I also like that Amanda was like, Loretta was so worked up that she had to leave the church at 9. And then Rayford's like, she left at 9? What a slacker!
Such a like middle-aged like dad joke to make.
Amanda's like, Rayford,
shut the fuck up.
You know, she goes in at like noon. It's like still 9's fucking late. What the fuck?
Yeah. No, it's that when I do feel like Rayford's at his best when he's making dad jokes. Yeah. Like, honestly,
shit's blowing up and he's like, you know, may you go to the fallout.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's most likable to me. But yeah, like I thought this was a really interesting thing to call out because it's basically like a way. When you're not in the tribulation times, God's not going to be as direct. You can't expect God to be this direct with you. It's going to get, you know, there's going to be more signs and, you know, wonders and such in the end times.
But like, let's break down what's happening here, right? It's God pushing his spirit.
Yeah.
Onto an old woman.
Yes.
In Illinois and basically being like, if you don't pray enough, I'm going to kill Buck.
Thank you. That is exactly – like, that is crazy.
Oh, and one cool thing that – the opposite of this, because this is stupid, right? Because prayer – even when I was a Christian, I didn't think prayer ever
– as we've discussed.
Buck does say something that I really wanted to, like, underline in my Kindle version. And then buy 20,000 copies of it and underline in the Kindle version. It's like – because it's when Buck is thinking about Ben Tudor coming in and working with and interacting with and teaching the tribulation force, like, this is so good. I just don't know why God had to kill his family to make it happen. And I was like, tell him, Buck. It don't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah, like, literally, why did you do that, God? Like,
God works in mysterious ways. He killed these people in the goddamn street and fed their bodies to dogs instead of being like, you should go on an airplane.
Yeah. Like, why do we have to do this whole complicated thing? Because that's the thing that's like, the moral we're supposed to get from these chapters is like, wow, God is so cool. He saved them. Right. It's like, yeah, but he also caused all of this.
Right.
Like, he caused all these problems
and I think
to begin with. So is it really like saving someone if you caused the problem also?
And I just can't like think about how it makes sense at all. I know, okay, again, it's like, it's none of this makes sense, duh, but we've been over this. I understand why religion exists, but it's like,
you gotta start breaking down.
Right.
Like, what is actually happening?
But this makes no sense. But it is such a thing that happens. Like, I just felt the Lord tell me to pray for you.
Because they're absolutely setting up Loretta to be the prayer warrior of their group. She's like specially sensitive to praying. Because was that a thing? Like, yeah, in your journey, like, I'm like, oh, this person's a prayer warrior.
I still say I'm a prayer warrior. Well, I'm for a while, but I used to.
You just start doing it again.
When I was not a Christian.
Bring it back.
Well, yeah, it's like, what is the. I mean, what's the point?
It's like literally God is just like dangling it in front of this old lady. Like, maybe I'll kill Buck if you don't pray hard.
Yeah, maybe
enough.
Maybe pray.
Sorry, there's just like no way that's not a dick move.
And not to be Jennifer, you shouldn't care about the meat of your lovers. But I'm honestly like, how do they explain that?
Yeah, like, how do they explain that to themselves?
And I get the idea of how prayer is uplifting, and it's kind of, well, when I was a Christian, I was like, oh, God's a weirdo, and we only exist to, like, because he needs to be praised.
Right, which is fucked also.
Which is weird, but, like, we want to do it is usually the way we get to the end. But regardless, it's like, then why did God send the Spirit upon you to be like we said, if you don't pray enough, I'm going to kill his ass. Like, I just don't get the magic.
Because he's still causing it.
Right.
So, like, what's he getting out of this?
I'm not even, like, if it was just Loretta being, I guess if it was Loretta manifesting her spark of the Lord and she was tapping into the veil of, of God magic.
Yeah.
Ergo, spirits. She's a prayer cleric.
Right.
And she's able to do it. It's not God, literally. And even then, we're getting, like.
Well, this is where I was going to say, like, this is where, like, I feel like the Catholic worldview makes so much more sense. Because it'd be like, well, the saint is the one that was telling me to pray. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, but God just doing all of this for God's self? Like, what are you doing, bro? Just go make a new universe. It's better. Like,
yeah.
Like, maybe don't make Satan.
Don't make that hot, fuckable twink Satan.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, how did you not know this was going to happen? You knew this was going to happen. So
also,
this is your fucking fault.
What is the point of praying if God knows our hearts?
Exactly.
Why is that always drilled in? Why is it that when I jack off to Yasmin Bleeth, it's like I'm having sex with Yasmin Bleeth, but when
I don't know who that is.
She's Google it.
Okay, all right.
She's from Baywatch.
Okay.
That's a sin of premarital sex, but why is it not like whatever the opposite of a sin is,
yeah,
when
like,
I'm like,
bitch, you can read my mind. Why are you making me like,
bitch,
say it out loud?
You know I don't want to get a goddamn car accident. You know I don't want my dad's airplane to fall out of the damn sky.
Obviously.
Why are you gonna be saying it, idiot?
You know I want to get through this checkpoint. Like, come on. Yeah, no, this is where I do get like legitimately like, angry when I think about this concept of God. And I'm like, fuck you, bitch. Like, yeah. You're like, you need to fix yourself. Like,
go to therapy.
Go to therapy, God. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, this really was like kind of the thing that like broke everything for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, God sounds like a dick. And if I'm less of a dick than God, I don't want any part of this. This doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, no, I'm so glad that you brought, cause I also was like losing my mind over that part. To the extent that I don't even think I like put it in the notes, cause I was just getting like so pissed off reading it. So I'm glad you brought that
up. I mean, I get what they're going for. You know, it is like, we are now in a very special time when, I guess, like, are they talking about, like, are we really treating God as three people, as, like, three people, and, like, replace the Catholic saints with the Holy Spirit?
I don't think they would agree with that, because they're a big
I don't think they would agree with that
either. Three and one, they all know what they're doing.
Right.
And what's the point of the three, then?
Yeah, well, it's like in Calls we're talking about, you know, technically a tangent, but whatever. Of like, okay, if God is all knowing and God is all seeing and God is all yada yada yada, but yet XYZ still happens, it's like, well, God chooses not to see XYZ, and it's like,
well, then why?
It's
like we have all these like this is like theology.
It's like, is God good? God sees so much bad, and he knows bad's gonna happen. He lets it happen.
And God made this world, and there's bad in the world, so right. Where did it come from? Like, this is where, like, the whole, like, field of theology exists just to come up with, like, really complicated right. ways to make this work, and it's like, but what if we just didn't do that?
30 guys.
What if we just realized this doesn't fucking work?
In the, like, 1700s, we're finally like, this kind of seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, so let's get wild with it. Da, 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 da.
Let's make up deism.
Yeah, exactly.
to like make God be like seem like less of a dick because he's like, I'll listen, I'm just letting you guys do your
right.
thing.
Right. Because in college, like I think we've said it before on maybe on the show, maybe not, but like our college, Gardner Webb University in Bowling Springs, North Carolina,
that's right,
had a weirdly progressive religion department.
Yes.
Despite this. It's kind of a chaotic school in a weird way. Weirdly, religious department. Very, very, very conservative, non-athlete population.
Yes.
And then since we, were slightly like a division like 1A or something like that, right? Above the size of our school.
Yeah.
Like if people know college football, you know, we were in like a, like 2,000, 3,000, like on campus student population, and we would like go up against App and football.
Yeah,
or, like,
and, Duke and our basketball team was good. So we had like some like legitimate athletes, and they were like, I'm just here to play sports.
Exactly.
like, I don't really care about this like Bible shit that you guys are talking about.
It was pretty chaotic, and we always said, like, based on where you sat, on the other side of the salad bar, right?
And yes,
the,
yes.
On the left side was the jocks, on the right side were the Christians, then we had kind of sat.
And then we were in the middle. We literally sat like in the middle part that was like on the other side of the salad bar. Like, we're cool. Yeah. We're cool Christians.
We're cool Christians.
We like to go drink.
Yeah, but because of that, we got to have some pretty interesting conversations.
Yes.
With professors. And like I said, I want to talk to some of these guys, see if they're still around.
I know.
I mean, we're getting older, and they're obviously getting older as well.
I know.
But, like, I remember going to, like, coffee shops with some of them, and they're like, well – and they're, like, still Christians, right? Like,
yeah.
Capital C Christians. And, like, they walked through this whole God chooses not to do, like, do anything.
Yeah.
And, like, how do we still rectify that with a loving God? It's like,
yeah.
Well, he's either all-loving, all-knowing, da-da-da-da-da, so he just chooses not to. Boom, done.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess.
Yeah, well, okay. That sounds kind of like a weird, like, knot to tie yourself into, yeah. But okay. Like, and like, it's not like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, seem like I'm, like, disrespecting anyone that is still religious. It just super does not work for me in the way, again.
I mean, I still.
Obviously, you guys can tell my brain is very special mm-hmm. from the way I've talked about our bodies as meat bags. but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's all. I still agree, think that religion should be illegal, but.
Yes.
I do understand that would be so dramatic and messy if someone actually tried to make it.
And you know what? And then you get into the, like, a lot of things are essentially the same thing as religion. Mm-hmm. We're going to find some, like, set of rules. Like, humans are going to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to make little groups, and they're going to have, like, their philosophy of life, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, like, whether it's, like, about God or it's about yoga or, you know, about selling MLM products. Like, it's all the same shit. It's just that, unfortunately, Christianity is a very big influence in the world and in our country, and it's making things worse. So
yeah, like,
I have a little extra
we say all that, and then it's like
poison in my heart towards it.
We can never have a president that's like, yeah, I don't believe in that dumb shit.
No, like, it's like, we are so far away from, like, ever being able to just have, like, an atheist president.
Right.
Like, I don't know when.
Nope, that is dumb and stupid.
Like, and he literally gets, like, executed.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was a little tangent, but I think it was very worthwhile.
I think as the magic starts to happen more often, we're going to have these things that can be bigger.
No, this is what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
This is why we're reading these books.
Absolutely.
Because you have to, like, you start to, like, see the underpinning of, you know, the theology behind this.
Right.
And then if you start to, like, untangle it and be like, what does this mean, though?
Because so much of it is, like, the concept of our fairy tales taking our things that we do believe in the way that we act and making them bigger,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for this, it's going to go on of, like, literally God in the tribulation is impressing upon you to do X, Y, Z. God is literally sending meteors and hailstones and things like that to wake you up. But before that, they're still saying all the same shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the child was stolen and eaten from her family to teach her family a lesson, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember lightly breaching the subject to like a coworker that I worked with in high school. She's like, yeah, I just can't really get about like, you know, girls getting snatched and like killed.
Yeah.
Like, and then like getting eaten and shit like that. Was right?
This
like the, serial
was
killer
this,
shit.
Was this the non-Christian girl that you had a crush on?
Yeah. That I wouldn't date because she was a non-Christian.
That's so sad.
I think about it like 1.5 times a year as I get older. I'm like, should see what happens.
I don't know what she's doing now.
Yeah, we saw her once.
Did you?
I think you were there, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we were downtown.
Oh, that's funny.
Hope she's doing well.
I mean, if she's already
she's
like
a kid.
You know, if she was already like that, like critical. I just am like impressed with anyone who has like the critical thinking, like in high school, to sort of be like, well, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
because I was just so like hook, line, and sinker, and it took me like years and years to like deconstruct shit.
Right. If I wasn't and that's the thing that broke me of being a Christian, is like, if I was not brainwashed, I would not be a Christian.
Yeah.
So like, regardless of any of this shit's true, I was brainwashed.
Yes, exactly. And the proof of that is that when you get away from it, you're like, what? That doesn't make any damn sense.
What do you
like,
mean I get panic attacks?
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, should we go back to Buck?
Oh yeah, I guess so. So Buck, he does make it far enough away from the border patrol that Zion can come out. And obviously, as we said, he did survive. Mm-hmm. And this is where he's like, I don't know if this young man was a man or an angel sent from God or what. But basically, he got on the bus, like makes eye contact with Ben Judah. And he's like, Rabbi Ben Judah, my name is Anis. Pray as you have never prayed before, that my report will be believed.
Well, he says something sick as hell before that.
Oh, what was it?
Where he basically like grabs him and makes eye contact with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, who are you? Basically something like, who are you? And if you're not who I think you are, you're a dead man.
Yeah, yes.
Because like,
yeah, that was pretty sick. I forgot about
that. Basically is like, well, I'm a border guard and Ben Judah's probably trying to get the fuck out of here, and I'm one of the 144,000, I assume.
Well, yeah, because that's what I'm basically. Yeah, he's like, listen, dude, you better believe.
Right.
You better hope they believe me that there was nothing in here. Because
like,
because he's obviously on the side of Ben Judah, which means I'm assuming he's a Christian.
Right. And if he's if Ben Judah is not Ben Judah, that means that this white American guy is smuggling
somebody
a dude,
else.
And that's bad, and you're gonna get murdered because it's too shady, right? So luckily, that's when Anise is like, please pray for me.
Yeah.
I'm about to do a lot of state lying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So now, okay, they made it through the Israeli border crossing, but now they got to make it through the Egyptian one.
Yeah.
And they do say, like, all right, this one's a lot easier, which does make sense. Like, okay, these people have already been checked.
Right.
They did say something very strange here, though. Can you read this little paragraph?
I'd love to. This was a much easier and quicker process. You couldn't get to this checkpoint without going through the previous. So, unless the Israelis were trying to dump their cast-offs, it was usually smooth sailing.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't think you need to think deeply about it.
I just thought it was a really weird, line. Like, who's Israel trying to, like, send to Egypt as a cast-off?
I would not be surprised. Every single country does it, right?
Like, well, you know what? That's fucking true, like, actually. Like, we don't want this guy anymore.
Right.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Letting people squeak through.
I don't know. It just was, like, felt very strange. What are you saying?
It's like, you didn't need to say that.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that governments do, and we don't talk about it. And even I'm saying that.
Yeah. It's like, but like, Harry Jenkins? Why are you thinking
about this? I don't think we need to talk
about this.
Let the criminals go.
So this is the third close call.
Right.
We've had two incidents already, because we had the first of the global community car. Then we had the Israeli checkpoint. Now we're at the Egyptian border crossing.
Is funny and confusing.
One, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because what happens is they, like, basically they get off the bus and, like, Buck is being interrogated and Ben Judah just, like, goes and stands by the bus.
Yeah.
And, like, just no one notices him.
Yeah.
But, like, again, that is one of those, like, if you just, like, walk with confidence and just act like you know where you're going, like, people just, like, don't notice shit.
Right. Because, like, at this point, they're kind of jazzed. So Ben Judah's, like, sitting up.
So
when the border guard is like talking to them, Ben Judah's not hiding.
Right. They're
like looking at him. Cause like, again, the idea probably would be that, sure, the Egyptians would know about Ben Judah running away, but not as much and not as on high alert. And again,
right, he's like, well, that's not our guy.
Are you telling me that like the border crossing right over there didn't get.
Right. Like him? If anyone's going to get him, it's going to be the Israeli border crossing.
But it's good to remember. It did seem like Buck was kind of confused by the process.
Like,
where he's like, do you see him? Is he invisible to you?
Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, what kind of God magic is happening right now.
Right, and Benji just like, I don't know, I'm just vibing.
I'm and just then, chilling and being an old guy.
Yeah.
Even though he's only like 45 also.
Yeah.
And they keep calling him old timer. I'm like, bro, 45?
I think he looks old. Probably from stress.
Beard.
Yeah.
You got a cool ass beard.
Yeah. So like, instead of, you know, him hiding or anything like that, basically the more jovial Egyptian guards like question Buck. But the thing that we got to remember is that Benjudo doesn't have any papers.
Yeah, so it's like he's just, yeah, he doesn't have anything to show them. Like, Buck has fake papers he can show, but that's why he's like, Benjudo's like, I know I can't go in there, but I don't have any papers.
So
and
while,
that's going to obviously trigger, like, a whole thing.
Right, so, like, while the other guard is searching the bus, like Jennifer said, Benjudo's is, like, hiding behind the bus.
He gets out and then just, like, shuffles behind the bus.
Yeah, and then when there. Buck gets through his interrogation, Benjudo just like slides up next to him and gets on.
Like, go, go, go.
And then he like goes in the back of the car and starts falling, like snoring loudly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's trying to act like, oh, I'm just a sleepy old guy, like whatever. So, yeah, so they do make it through, you know, but they also know, like, okay, this is probably only going to last so long. They're probably going to, because someone's going to mention, well, there were two guys on the bus. Like, wait, did you check the other guy? Wait, like, oh, check no. The one guy.
Fuck. So, like, we got to go fast. Maybe they won't know.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're lucky, let's see what happens.
And Zion makes a funny little comment here, and it's like, it is like we are living in the New Testament. And I think that is, that, like, encapsulates a thing that people liked about these books, is I think they, like, imagine, like, what if I were an adventurer, like, the 100%. New Testament, and God was, like, helping me get out of, know, these snafus and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people want, they want that. They want to be able to imagine themselves as, like, heroes in a story.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm going to stand up if someone told me not to read the Bible. I'm gonna
stand up. And that's why my like fifth grade ass was writing stories about, you know,
smuggling a Bible.
Smuggling the Bible. Yeah, exactly. Because it's fun to, you know, put yourself in that.
Yeah.
Basically, they're like, yeah, they're probably going to catch up to us at some point. Well, no, if another car comes up and it's like one of the guys that was searching that they, the jig is up.
Mm-hmm.
Another very important part. Zion is like, I just want to reiterate that I'm only eating for sustenance, like, just to keep myself alive, and I will take no pleasure in it. I get a fig bar, please?
I used to love eating. Now I just do it so that I can do what God wants and survive.
He needs some Soylent.
Yeah. And then Buck is like, I'm not hungry. Oh, wait, what the fuck?
I'm actually so hungry. Like, yeah, you've been doing hijinks all
night. Yeah, you've been on edge for hours, days.
So as they're eating their fig bars, unfortunately, they do notice a car with flashing lights coming up on the horizon. So they're like, all right, fuck, I guess we got to figure out a plan of what we're going to do. Buck says, from the looks of those cars at the border, they're small and have very little power. If I step on it, it will take them a long time to catch us. Did you not just say this bus is going like 40 miles an hour? What are you saying?
Yeah, that's what he's basically saying.
Can't little cars go really fast? Like
sometimes, but the implication here is these aren't like sick ass cars.
Gary Jenkins, how do you know so much about a plane and not about, I don't know anything about cars, and even I know this doesn't make any sense.
I think it makes some sense. Because he's saying that like if he pushes the jalopy, because he's saying the entire time, they're going to catch us.
Okay, he's just trying to get it as close as he can to the airport.
And he's
okay,
like,
fine.
If I go as fast as I can, and if they're not going as fast as they don't have like some souped up American police car, then it's going to take them longer to get to us. It's going to give me more plausible deniability, yada, yada, yada.
Right. That he can just be like, oh, I know you're coming for me. I'm American businessman.
Right.
So while this is happening, Bug's like, hey, son, just out of curiosity, how old are you? And he's like, what? That's very rude to ask. What he's trying to get at is like, can you run? Because we might have to run.
How good are you at dodging bullets?
Yeah.
Literally.
How are you good at like ducking and rolling?
Right.
Because I think that's what we're going to get into next.
Yeah. Because it's at this point that Buck is literally like, yeah, I think we've kind of burned through our normal shit. And I think if we're doing it, we kind of got
to
go hard.
Wild out now for this last one. Because this is the end stretch.
Yeah.
They are, like, the next stop is the airport.
Yeah.
So they just got to get there.
The part of the small plan is get closer to the airport than the checkpoint.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, the car sucks. It's not going to make it back. Or even the car sucks.
Right.
I can't turn it off.
Right. Let us talk at the airport.
Let's just get to the airport and let's talk at the airport.
Yeah. So at this moment, guess who calls Buck on the damn cell phone? It's Chloe again. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you? I'm worried about you. And he's like, bitch, I can't talk right now. It's life or death.
I do like that he, this time at least, he's like, yo, I got it. I got to go.
I promise you. And honestly, to be fair, it is pretty serious. Like, I do not have time to talk.
And
please get in touch with Kinross for me.
You know it sounded crazy in that car.
Yes. Oh, like rattling. You know, yes, loud as hell. Absolutely.
What are you doing? Like,
yeah, totally. So, yeah, he's like, please get in touch with Kinross for me. Bye. Hopefully I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
And this is where Buck starts to formulate the plan of what they're going to do. And he's like, I wonder if the cigarette lighter and the bus works.
Yeah. And I was reading that like, what the fuck are you going to do?
What are you going to do, brother? And then Zion's like, oh, you're going to blow this bus up.
Hell yeah.
Which is fucking sick.
Because at this point, Zion's kind of jazzed whenever things are, like, happening that are crazy. He's like, yay!
I mean, I get it. It's a distraction from just being like, damn, my family is dead and I'm sad.
Right.
Like, I'd rather do some hijinks. I keep saying hijinks, but...
He's entered the cool zone of, like, I have nothing to live for.
Yeah, he's black belt now.
I don't care about dying.
I hope I explode in this bus.
Yeah, my entire being is in the Lord's hands, so therefore, why am I afraid?
He's, like, at peace. Yeah. He's zen now.
And there's, like, I'm allowed to have fun while I'm in the Lord's hands? Fuck off.
Fuck off. Very quick interstitial here that is like 0% important where Chloe talks to Rayford about getting in touch with Kinross and he's like, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, I don't know why we need to. All right, fine. Whatever. Rayford gets in touch with Kinross and is like, call Buck.
Yeah.
The phone tag that happens in this is so funny.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Ray, you're closer than I am. So how about you call?
Does that matter? I mean, I guess maybe there's it's got to go through the tubes.
The tubes.
It's got to go through the tubes under the ocean.
Yeah,
internet
exactly.
Tubes or whatever. So the Border Patrol car is catching up to the bus boys.
Oh.
And then Buck doesn't keep – he's trying to play stupid at first, which is absolutely the right choice.
Yes.
I mean, like, huh? What?
Like he's trying to like wave him past. Like, no, go past me.
And they're like, no, I want you. And he's like, well, shit. All right. We're gonna have to go like crazy mode to get out of this.
Right.
And they do a whole like, Buck, like, you know, slams the accelerator and like the little car like gets in front of him. And then he like pretends to stop and they get out and then he starts driving again, which was pretty fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
The other car gets in front of them and slows down. He's like, he like taps them.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that back and forth because later they also tap the back of the bus.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're doing cool car chase stuff that I'm not going to like tell you beat for beat what happens. It's pretty cool. and then Kinross does call Buck and, you know, he's psyched for what's about to happen. Right. Kinross is the coolest guy in these books.
Right.
Like, by far.
Remember at this point, he's not a Christian as far as we know. Buck has not had this conversation.
He's just down to clown.
Right. He's like, we're going to do some fucked up shit. Let's go.
Yeah. He literally, like, Buck's like, you ready for some fun? And Kinross is like, I thought you'd never ask. I haven't had any real fun for ages. You're going to risk your life and break the law, Buck said. Is that all? I've been there before. Like, Kinross is absolutely the coolest guy in these books. He's going to be less cool if he becomes a Christian, but I want him to survive.
Right.
So it's a real...
Kinross is my favorite character.
It's a tough one.
Kinross is one of my favorite characters. I'll say that.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah. He absolutely worked for the CIA or like a cartel
for
a little bit.
Oh, man, for sure. Or both.
Both.
In a mafia. He's whatever. You know he's just working.
Yeah,
you've got a plan. He's smuggling
like,
shit.
Like, yeah, let me clear out my cocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like, I don't need that. You don't want cocaine? Okay, fine.
I'm like, wow, there's a lot of white powder all over this freaking
I can still be a Christian and do cocaine, though, right?
I'll just ask forgiveness every time.
Well, is it bad to do cocaine? Where in the Bible does it say you can't do cocaine?
Checkmate.
Take that.
The Bible doesn't mention cocaine.
This is how I worship.
Yep. So, yeah, Ritz points out like, yeah, so, okay, if things are happening the way you're explaining, like, they're definitely going to have called ahead to the airport and they're going to, like, put a roadblock up to try to catch you. So you better have a plan for that. And he's like, listen, buddy, you just have your fucking stairs down. tell me where your plane is. We'll get to you.
Right.
We'll figure it out.
I'm going to MacGyver something. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
It is funny because after this point, Buck's like, all right, there's three things that could happen. A boring thing, another boring
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a sick as shit
or a
thing.
Crazy thing.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, guys, I think we all know what it's going to be. So Buck, yeah, he makes a plan that basically they're going to use the like remaining oil, gasoline, whatever they got back mm-hmm. there, and they're going to toss a cigarette lighter into it and explode the back of the bus.
He's going to do a fucking Fast and the Furious move.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to like
whip the ass
whip
out.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And create like a catapult of fire out of the butt of the bus, he's gonna go, he's gonna whip it so hard
yeah.
that the door's gonna open.
And it's gonna like explode out the butt of yeah. the bus.
That's confusing.
Yeah, but I got what you, I got what you say. He's like, listen, we're gonna hang on to the front.
Right.
And let the explosion happen in the back and hopefully in the chaos.
And like, you know, it's mostly a distraction, not a bathe your enemies in fire type situation.
Right, yeah, it's just a distraction. They're not necessarily like trying to kill anyone. Right. It's just, yeah, trying to make a distraction explosion. Buck and Zion, they see the roadblock. All right, like we're gonna have to do the explosion method.
We cannot smash through it.
And it works, and they're able to run away. They are able to get out with the distraction of the
yep,
explosion.
Yep, went off without a hitch. I mean, yep. they dropped the lighter for a second, and Zion's like, "Oh no,
oh no!" Yeah, that was funny.
And like Buck looks in the rearview mirror, and like the whole back is on fire, and it's like, "Oh shit, well, time to whip this bitch."
Yep, yep. So it does that, and then they're running towards the plane, and like. And they're like 50 feet from the plane, Buck hears shots, and they're shooting at him.
Fuck.
Yeah, firing high-powered rifles, and as Buck is diving into the plane, a bullet rips through the bottom of his shoe.
And he goes, ow!
Owie! And Ritz was like, those rascals shoot my plane, I'm gonna be really mad. Don't shoot my plane. But yeah, like Buck hauls Zion in, because like at some point during this also, like Zion has kind of hurt his leg yeah. like a little bit, which we find out is just like a sprained ankle and it's fine. Mm-hmm. So Buck throws Zion in, he tumbles in, pull the stairs up, and they fucking take off. Which I have some questions about how all this works. I'm like, don't they have to like, I don't know, get permission to leave?
Oh, he already had all that.
Yeah, but like, where did they? I don't know, man. It just feels weird that someone could run.
I was like, are
off.
They not gonna shoot your fucking plane down?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how is no one chasing them?
Yeah,
maybe they're just like, man, not worth it. Not our problem. This is Israeli problem.
Well, it's like such a extreme way to get through this that it's like so obvious that. Yeah, these are bad people.
Like, this would be a big deal. I feel like this would be on the news. Like, there was a crazy shootout at this airport in Egypt. Like,
yeah, the plane got away. Maybe it happens more than we think.
There's like an exploding bus. Like, there's a lot going on here. Yeah. I would assume that they'd be like, you know, all right, you gotta land again. Like, we've got you surrounded or something. Mm-hmm. But we don't know, I guess. Like, this chapter is ending. I don't think that's what happens. I think they get away.
Yeah.
And even Buck got shot, but it just nicked his foot. It didn't even like, but didn't like really like penetrate his foot. So
the Lord is so big right now.
The Lord is so big and mysterious.
Thank you.
And he loves it when you explode a bus and then run and jump into
God
an airplane.
Like, hell yeah. That rules. Like, I'm only
sick.
Gonna.
For once, I'm not bored watching the earth.
So good luck to them. I'm hoping that nothing bad happens on the flight, because you fucking just tap on an airplane and fall in the sky.
I just, like, don't, yeah, like, to, I'm just, I don't know, again, but this is the thing, these books always have the, well, God just made it, mm-hmm. so this didn't happen. Like, mm-hmm. you've always got that out. So it's like, why did no one come chasing after the plane? Well.
It was a small local theater, it was all ready to go, he said he's just waiting for a passenger, and then,
yeah,
because I don't think Buck had to, like, check in.
And honestly, that is one thing I do need to remember, that this book came out in 1997.
Sure.
So I do think that maybe even like that would be different. Like,
yeah,
because I'm like, they would have to go through like customs.
Well, think
shit.
About like Succession, how often they just like go
That's
to their
true.
Private.
That's true. You're right. Private planes are different. So I guess that is like how they make it work.
Yeah.
And that was another thing they did like say earlier in some of the back and forth with Ken and Buck, that like they don't. As far as the airport and everyone is concerned, it's just Ken Ritz mm-hmm. and one other person on this plane. So they don't know. I don't know. I've got questions, but whatever. It's fine. God did it, I guess.
God
fine.
Did it.
Fine.
Good luck.
Yep. So,
it's so hard to track a plane. Once they get in this, that's kind of the fuck they are.
I can't get up there.
Well, thank you so much for listening. These were, as always,
action-packed.
Great chapters that I love to read and talk about.
And brought up some fun theological things that I like yelling about with you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because I'm always looking to yell about.
Sure.
And say God's stupid. Because I'm a hater. So I'm always looking for that.
God's not stupid. He's mean.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
He's evil.
Yeah. He's just evil. Not stupid.
It'd be funny if he was stupid, I guess.
That would suck if God was dumb. Like, God!
No. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tim Lanning and Jennifer's at Jennifer Cheek. You can consume all of our various contents from around the web. I have a link tree.
On the net.
On the net that is connects to a lot of that. So if you like D&D or whatever.
If you like to hear us just talk about nonsense, you could listen to Dear Internet, our other program where I go dig around on Reddit and find funny questions to talk about. I think it's fun.
It is fun. Well, until next time, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.